So 5 o'clock came this morning. And I got out of bed and my body didn't think it was 5 o'clock. And I need to tell you, I am repenting for the words that I said. But it is the season of Lent. We began this season Wednesday as we gathered. First, I want to celebrate something. 60 people came through our parking lot seeking God and to be imposed with ashes as a reminder and a mark of the fact that they are human and from dust they come and from dust they will return. And then that evening we gathered in the sanctuary and 48 individuals came and did the same thing. There is a yearning among us, among our community, to reach deeper and to follow Christ. And it's that yearning that we appeal to today. Pardon me. Lent is a season of preparation for Holy Week and for Easter. Since the 3rd century, these 40 days, minus Sundays, because each Sunday is a little Easter, these days provide converts opportunities to prepare for baptism and for professing Christians to repent of their sin and to return to God. Often, as we have grown into this season of Lent and how we respond to it, we have chosen to delete something, a behavior, from our lives as a form of suffering. We may give up chocolate, or we may give up, TV, or I'm sure that you've been down this road before and you understand why we're doing that type of sacrificial giving up. But this year, we're going to focus on nurturing something positive by increasing our connection with God and with one another through our discipleship disciplines. The season of Lent for early Christians was a period where they establish new practices in their lives, new ways of being, and were taught and accepted into the body. Discipleship, which really means following Christ, discipulos, which is to follow, in as opposed to apostolos, which is, is to be sent. These are two very different things. So we're talking about the process of being called to follow. Discipleship means that we move from a place of self-centeredness toward being Christ-centered. Now, oftentimes, being self-centered carries kind of a negative connotation in our society, but I want you to just take it without a value attached to it, just meaning focused on self. Okay? It's not a value thing, it's just a way that we sometimes live our lives. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, calls this process of going deeper in our discipleship, moving on toward perfection in our lifetime. Now, I don't know if I will ever reach perfection in my lifetime. And many of us try to rationalize this by thinking of it really means we are to move toward perfection in how we love, as Jesus loves. And yet, there is a pathway before us of moving deeper in discipleship toward the perfect example we have in Jesus Christ. We realize that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God is always ready to meet us where we are, but loves us far too much to leave us there. Think about that a moment. You may have heard this in other ways, but as we talk about moving closer to God, moving closer to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, we all come to it at a certain point in life. But God loves us too much to leave us there. We're to continually work toward that perfection in love that Jesus shows us. God wants us to continually mature in our faith and our understanding of Jesus. God wants it to be more than a tool for our well-being. Rather, our life becomes a model for perfection in Christ's image. And as we continue to mature in the ways that we develop spiritually, our life is transitioned, it's transformed into us being servants for others, as Christ was. If you're seeing this model in action, well, let's just take a look at our first scripture today. The reading from Mark has Jesus and the Satan dueling over the meaning of scripture. And I did say the Satan. We're first introduced to this rascal in the book of Job. And if we look at it in Hebrew, the article the or ha in Hebrew comes before the noun Satan. So it's really ha Satan or the Satan or the tempter. That's what we're talking about here. Satan has become capitalized with kind of like a proper noun, but that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about the tempter. And we see that example in today's scripture as the Satan and Jesus duel over the meaning of scripture. As Samantha read today, I hope you noted that Jesus uses scripture to point faithful living. That's what it's all about for Jesus. How do I use scripture to live my life more faithfully? The Satan, however, uses scripture to trip Jesus up, to encourage him to use the holy writings in ways that take the glory and the focus off of God and put it on himself. This is a prime example of how, when we pick and choose scripture to defend and support our own personal desires or perspectives, we fail to see the broader purpose of scripture, which is to make us more like Christ and transform us. That's what it's really all about. The reading that we heard from Luke today underscores this. Scripture is not merely to inform us. Rather, when used properly, it will profoundly change us. Scripture moves us closer to God and to one another. But there's a continuum, a spectrum about how we approach scripture that's often based upon our spiritual maturity. I love this visual display here. And I think these are all Kathy's Bibles, right? Kathy, why do you have so many Bibles?
Well, they all are a different interpretation.
different interpretations. Some are study Bibles that explain to her what she just read. Some have the red words of Jesus. Which one's the best?
The one I have at home.
The one she has at home. Why? Because?
Why? Because it's got underlines and circles and it's all
it's used.
My favorite.
It's your favorite. So what is the Bible that is best for you? The one that you read. Think about it. The one that you read. Oftentimes, we come to Scripture as new Christians, seeking for it to provide us comfort, or perhaps a form of inspiration in times of need. We pick the book up and probably blow the dust off it. When we are facing something in life and we want to appeal to something greater than ourselves. Matter of fact, some Bibles even have at the very back of it a series of, if you are feeling this, then look at this verse on page. And that's a good place to start. But it sure isn't the place where we end up. As we continue to encounter Scripture and live into the models of Jesus Christ, we begin reading regularly for knowledge and for deeper inspiration. And then over, and please understand what I mean, I'm not talking about doing all this in a week. The process of discipleship takes a lifetime. Please hear that. Oftentimes, we focus on the destination and we don't look at the lifetime in between the beginning and the fulfillment. So what I'm talking about now as we move through this pathway, it's a lifelong journey. We seek knowledge. And through that, we have deeper inspiration of how God is working through the history with God's people, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, through the early church, and then forward through the millennia to where we are today. But again, that's kind of hit and miss. And then, at a certain point, we begin to realize that we need to daily reflect upon the Word of God to really properly understand God's creation, God's relationship with that creation, and where God intends for us all to be going. We're slowly opening ourselves to let the Holy Spirit work on us each and every day. And over the years, we find ourselves changing and transforming and becoming just a bit more like Jesus every day. But often, particularly when we begin at a certain place and then think we're at the end of our journey, we misuse Scripture. We tend to look for examples and stories that prop up our own imperfections or permit us to see the world in a way that if we look at the totality of Scripture, we couldn't develop. We misinterpret what God is doing. We misassociate pieces and small parts of the biblical story. And we form incorrect causation or correlation by cherry-picking pieces of scripture that don't speak from separate contexts in the same way, but we try to force them to. We look for examples within scripture to point out other people's imperfections. We use the Bible to tell other people to change. Tell other people to conform to our understanding of Scripture. Oftentimes, these errors creep in when we look at Scripture alone, something in Latin called sola scriptura, rather than looking more broadly at what God is doing as we encounter Scripture together as a community. Using Scripture alone can lead us down some dark paths. But when we use the traditions of faith, when we see how we as people of God have over millennia built and appropriated and then interpreted these scriptures, we get a clearer sense of what they really mean to us. When we each use the reason that God has given to us, we begin to think about the stories that we read in the Bible in a certain way. And I need to say, using my own reason leaves me at the limits of it. But when I gather with others in community, and I listen to you as you share with me your gift of reason, I begin to think more broadly. I begin to see the scripture in new ways. I begin to see the Spirit speaking to me through you. And that is one of the beauties of Bible study. But again, that's not the ending point. We come to Scripture bearing the experiences of our lifetime, the experiences of our community. And we encounter it through that lens because that is the lens that we wear. And yet, as we begin together to think about our collective experiences and share our individual experiences, we see new meaning in the Bible. And together, we discover just a little bit more of what God may be saying to us. So, as we journey together this Lenten season, as we go deeper into our discipleship and into our spiritual disciplines, I must ask, what is the next step you can take this week in going deeper in your discipleship through Scripture? Remember, I said that I like to jump to the end sometimes. I'm going to caution you not to do that. Don't sit there and say, I'm going to be perfect in love. Because while it's not impossible, it's highly improbable that by the end of next week you will be perfect in love. But what is the next step in your journey? The next one step that you can take to move from casual encounters with the Bible in moments of need in your lifelong journey to letting it transform you into the very image of Jesus Christ. We have work ahead. And I commit to travel with you. Will you travel with one another this Lenten season? Amen. Amen. Amen.